Is the Bible Project really a credible resource? Is 1 Timothy 5:8 about sharing the gospel with our family? And what if I want to be a public evangelist? The answers to these questions when we understand the text.
This is When We Understand the Text, a daily study of the Word of God. And now it really is a daily study. All 7 days of the week, you could find good Bible teaching right here on this podcast. Tell your friends to visit www.utt.com. Now here's your host, Pastor Gabe.
Thank you, Becky.
You're welcome.
Hey, remember a few weeks ago, we went through the podcasts that we listened to. All right, I'll take that back. We went through podcasts that I listened to.
Right.
Remember that?
Uh-huh,
okay,
I do.
So somebody said, hey, Pastor Gabe, what are some podcasts you listen to? And I mentioned my three. We didn't talk about what podcasts you listen to.
Right.
I had a couple of emails saying, well, what podcast does Becky listen to?
Oh, well, I can say when I have the time, I listen to what first? And then
you listen to my study and,
yes,
and the kids are there.
Right.
They'll hear the daily Bible lesson.
Right.
Okay.
And then Renewing Your Mind by R.C. Sproul.
Okay.
Well, his I don't know what you call it.
Well, it is. It's a podcast.
Him, but yeah, it's not really. Anyway.
It's really him. It's just, yes, not new stuff.
Right. There we go. I didn't know how to word that. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, but it's not just
awkward.
Him. I mean, it's.
No, it's not
Sinclair
just
Ferguson,
right,
or mm-hmm, Robert Godfrey or something,
right,
like that. Yeah.
Yes. And then on the rare occasion that I get more time, I squeeze in Al Mohler, The Briefing,
mm-hmm,
possibly Wretched Radio.
Yeah. I know The Briefing isn't all that interesting to the kids.
No.
Yeah.
No.
they're not real thrilled when I listen to it with them around.
And then Theology Driven and
yep,
Entreating Favor. I mean, like, there's.
Well, it's been a long time since Entreating Favor's been on, but I get you.
Yeah.
I get what you got.
I mean, but like I said, I rarely get time. So that's how far back I'm going.
Yeah. So when we did that episode, I had a lot of suggestions of podcasts to add to that list.
Right.
And I can't.
Right.
I cannot,
right,
add any more to that.
We're talking, this has been within the past 6 months to almost a year that I've been able to listen to them all in 1 week.
Right.
So that's been a long time.
But if I could add some extra recommendations, if I've been on a podcast, that would be a good one to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Bar podcast.
Right.
Average Andy. I should call him Average Andy because that's who he is on Twitter.
Right.
But he's got the
Andy
Echo
Olsen.
Zoe. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Andy Olson. He's got the Echo Zoe podcast. Those are good to listen to as well. Thank you for your suggestions, but I can't add any more.
Yeah.
I'm stuck with what
booked.
I got. Yep.
Busy.
Can't squeeze any more in there. So there's Becky's podcast,
yeah,
for those of you who are curious.
Kind of podcasts.
And sometimes when I listen to a certain interview and I'll tell Becky about it, then she'll bring it up and listen to that too.
Very rare.
A couple of weeks ago, we had the Billy Graham episode.
Right.
So we were remembering Billy Graham.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about some of the pluses and minuses about his ministry.
Right.
I had several follow-up emails from folks saying Graham was actually worse than what you presented,
mm-hmm,
and gave me some other information. And I get that. That was kind of what it was that we were presenting, that there were,
right,
aspects about his ministry that were problematic, very problematic. But as I stated in that program, when he preached the gospel, that's what you heard.
Right.
It was an Arminian presentation of the gospel, but it was nonetheless the gospel. And
uh-huh,
if somebody heard it, they knew to turn from their sin and follow Christ, because that's what Billy Graham,
right,
said. And he called for a response when he preached the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you got him away from the pulpit, from the podium,
mm-hmm,
and started talking with him about other theological matters that you would come into some things a little bit more wonky. So I get that. And there were even a few things that I had in my notes, which we didn't talk about that,
right,
day. We just didn't have the time, didn't get to it. But that, all of that was to say, even though there were some very serious problems with some of his doctrine, there nonetheless was a clear presentation of the gospel at any one of his crusades.
Right.
And I say that the man should be commended for that.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get the wonky doctrine at the podium.
Right.
You got the wonky doctrine in the interviews.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. That's something that Graham took up with the Lord when he when he stood before God. But that is certainly something that is worthy for our consideration. But what I present in that program is kind of going to be the extent of it.
Right.
I'm not going to delve into any more. Now, there was...
I think that's wise.
After... Thank you. After last week's Q&A, which seems like so long ago now because we had to do that before I left for ShepCon.
Right.
But after last week's Q&A, I got a few follow-up emails from folks that were concerned about my endorsement of the Bible Project.
Right.
And I took those emails seriously and looked into the Bible Project a little bit deeper.
Well, you take a lot of the emails seriously.
Yeah, I do.
There's very rare that you don't.
So while I am not going to add any more to what we did on the Billy Graham episode.
Correct.
I am going to walk back my endorsement of the Bible Project.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a helpful resource.
Oh, dear.
I even ended up watching a few more videos, some of the videos that they've done that are not the overview of the book of the Bible that you're reading.
Okay.
And I haven't agreed with everything. So when I'm watching those videos where they're doing, here's what this book of the Bible is about. You know, Romans was very much not a reform presentation of Romans, especially when they went through Romans 9.
You had mentioned that.
Yeah, because we went through Joshua last week.
Right.
And I mean, obviously, there were things there that I didn't agree with. But as far as the presentation was concerned, I thought it was a pretty helpful resource to give you that outline of what this book of the Bible was about. Well, there's other videos that they have done that are problematic. And I would say not even good for your kids. Even though they do this animation style, there was one video I watched where Adam was flipping off God.
Oh, like, well, hello.
Whoa, that I wasn't expecting that at all. I'm going, where did that come from? And furthermore, I looked into their doctrine. Now, when you go to the Bible Project website, that's hard to find. So and I did try to do that several years ago when I was first introduced to the Bible Project, but you couldn't find anything.
Right.
There were certain like a list of these Bible organizations endorse us. One of them was the Gospel Coalition.
Oh.
And at the time, I was a very ardent reader of the Gospel Coalition. And so. And that was like, oh, okay, well, TGC endorses them, then they must be okay. And I watched several videos from them. Unfortunately, when you finally do delve into these two men who are behind the Bible Project and some of the teachers that they follow, there are some very serious problems with their doctrine. So the guy that whose voice you hear when you're watching one of those Bible Project videos, which is who is Tim Mackey.
Okay.
I went to his website and he had a list of teachers that he follows. There are only nine teachers that are listed.
Okay.
Some of them I didn't recognize, but the ones I did recognize raised some serious concerns. So the most prominent name on there was N.T. Wright.
Okay.
N.T. Wright has said that a person does not need to believe in the resurrection of Christ in order to be a Christian. That is a very serious issue. That's something that Al Mohler confronted several years ago related to what N.T. Wright said. But we read in 1 Corinthians 15:17, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins.
Right.
It's very necessary to believe that Christ was raised from the dead.
And very clear.
And Wright has, speaking of clarity, Wright is one of those guys that is just not clear on things sometimes. You could really go anywhere with his description of certain doctrines. I really don't understand why the guy is so popular, especially in Reform circles. But nonetheless, that is not a teacher that I would endorse. And when somebody says that one of their most influential teachers is N.T. Wright, I kind of go, now, there are some good guys out there, like Michael Horton, for example, who reads N.T. Wright. And although Horton is Presbyterian and I'm not, it's not like I would say Horton's a heretic because Horton's a heretic. Horton hears a who just because
I'm sure he gets that a lot,
just because he reads N.T. Wright. So it's not like somebody's automatically dismissed just because they read Wright, but it's still one of those things. I just don't understand why Wright is so big.
Okay, so then if he wasn't the only one on there, what other one raised a couple red flags?
John Salehammer, he wrote a book called Genesis Unbound, in which Salehammer argued that Genesis 1 is a description of God creating the Garden of Eden for Adam and Eve. Genesis 1 is not a description of God creating the whole earth or the universe.
Oh,
That's
new.
That causes issues in other places. If you don't hold to a literal reading of Genesis 1 and 2, then it affects your understanding of sin, original sin, how death came into the world. And it's very unfortunate that just like N.T. Wright, just like there are trusted teachers out there that nonetheless love N.T. Wright, there are some guys out there whose teaching I have admired who love this description from Salehammer of what Genesis 1 is talking about in creation, that it's the preparation of the Garden of Eden and not the creation of the entire universe. Mm. And some of those teachers include Matt Chandler and John Piper. Mm. They love this critique from Salehammer. In fact, Piper has said that Salehammer's book on the Pentateuch is the most one of the most life-changing books he's ever read, and it changed his reading of the first five books of the Bible. I've not read it, so I don't know what he says, but if it's anything like what he's written about Genesis 1, I can't find it trustworthy.
Yeah.
So other teachers that Mackey follows, Karl Barth.
And Karl, who's that?
Karl Barth was a Swiss Reformed theologian.
Okay.
Very popular, but he's kind of neo-Reformed. He's not really of like the Reformed Orthodox persuasion. Or the way that liberal theologians describe Karl Barth, they called him neo-Orthodox.
Oh, okay.
So he's not really Orthodox, even though he was greatly influential throughout the 20th century, even made the cover of Time magazine.
Oh, wow.
But there were serious issues with his doctrine. Before I get to his doctrinal problems, though, Barth made a shipwreck of his faith by having an ongoing affair with his secretary for more than 30 years.
Oh, wow.
And his secretary lived with him and his wife and children in his home. And it has since been said that this woman with whom he was having an affair was incredibly influential on his studies, his theology, the things that he wrote. And of course she was.
Mm-hmm.
A person cannot be involved in sin like that and have it not affect their theological interpretation of what the Bible says. So speaking of some of those theological issues that I have with Barth, he argued that Christ is the Word of God, not the Bible. So when we read in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, he says that's describing Christ. Well, of course it is. I don't disagree with that.
Right.
But he's saying that because Christ is described as the Word of God, the Bible is not the Word of God.
Oh.
It's only Christ. So therefore, there's not a reason for us to have to receive the Bible as inerrant. Oh. And Barth did not think that the Bible was inerrant. In fact, according to Van Til's critique of Barth, he denied biblical inerrancy and did not believe the Bible was historically accurate, nor did it need to be.
Oh.
I want to note, Tim Mackey,
okay,
who is one of the creators of the Bible Project, is that what he believes about the Bible? So are you listening to him teach you the Bible and you're listening to this from a person who doesn't even hold that the Bible is inerrant? The lack of clarity is just really confusing.
That is.
And unfortunately, like I said, it's very difficult to find out what it is the Bible Project guys believe without watching a bunch of videos on it.
Right.
But there's no statement of faith.
Hmm.
So it's only by going to Tim Mackey's page that I found this list of teachers and got some understanding of what his vein of theology is like.
Right.
The last theologian that stuck out to me on that list was a guy by the name of Abraham Heschel. And he is a rabbi and a Jewish mystic who believed that God continually revealed new truth to modern day prophets, and he taught that you don't have to be a Christian to go to heaven.
Whoa.
And these are he was among the nine teachers that Mackey considered the most influential.
Wow.
And so are these the guys that are motivating the theology that comes through the Bible Project? If that's the case, I cannot endorse that ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're just sitting in front of your computer and you're watching YouTube and you see one of those and you're like, okay, give me a description of the book of Matthew. Give me an overview.
Right.
And you watch, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with sitting there and watching a video like that. Just, you know, again, make sure that you're reading the book of Matthew and not letting them tell you what the book of Matthew is about
and
calling it good. Right. Yes. Use good discernment. But then taking those videos and applying them to ministry or showing them to a Sunday school class or something like that, I can't say that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
Because then you would be presenting to that class, this is the Bible Project, and they say that's where the video comes from. And
this is okay.
And this is okay. And then
so
you
then
watch.
So then they go home and they look it up.
You watch some other videos that end up presenting some serious theological flaws. So I am apologizing for my endorsement of the Bible Project. I'm walking that back and saying that I'm not going to endorse the Bible Project. And to be very careful with what it is that you watch on that particular channel, the videos that they release, and don't let your kids watch it. If they think it's okay to throw up a picture of Adam flipping off God, it doesn't matter the point they were trying to make. That's irreverent and stupid, and has no place in a video that you would be showing your kids. All right. Thank you for those who patiently emailed me and said that I needed to take another look at the Bible Project, and I appreciate that.
Yes, thank you.
This next question comes from Janine in Alabama. She says, "Dear Pastor Gabe, thank you for your review of A Wrinkle in Time, which I did on my blog. I had not read from anyone else about the Christian themes in that book, though I did read somewhere that they took out all the Christian themes from the movie." That's true. There were the Christian themes weren't in the film, and the Christian themes that were in the book, as I was pointing out in the blog, were blasphemous and heretical. Unfortunately, there are some people that thought that A Wrinkle in Time was a Christian book. It's something that we could let our kids read like the Chronicles of Narnia, but no. If you let your kid read it, I'm not one of those persons like ban all books. You know, there's certainly some content that your children should not be reading. But if you let your kids read it, just be sure you talk with them about those Christian themes. Mom and dad, you should read it first.
Right.
And then talk with your children about that. And it probably would serve as a good lesson to say, here's why, even if somebody mentions Christ, that doesn't make it Christian.
Right.
And that doesn't make them a Christian. Could be a good way to help them learn that. If your kids want to read A Wrinkle in Time, if your kids attend public school and maybe they're reading it as a class or something like that, just make sure you walk through those things with your kids so that they can better understand what the Bible says versus what Madeline Lingle says in her. I don't even know how you pronounce her name. I've never understood.
I don't know either.
Madeline Lingle? Madeline Lingle? I don't know. Anyway, so I appreciate that. I'm glad you liked the review. So Janine goes on to say, are you planning on doing a review of the Apostle Paul flick? There's a movie about the Apostle Paul that's coming out. I think it's right around Easter.
Oh,
I can't remember when the release date is.
Oh, I think I've briefly seen something.
At one point, Hugh Jackman was attached to it.
Oh,
he was supposed to be the Apostle Paul, but I think because of conflicts, he didn't do it. Jim Caviezel is Luke. He's Dr. Luke in the Apostle Paul movie. You know Jim Caviezel, right?
Nope.
Jesus Christ in The Passion of the Christ.
Never watched it. Sorry.
And you call yourself a Christian.
I know.
I'm just kidding.
Terrible.
Nobody has to watch that movie in order to advance their faith in any way. It's very Catholic influenced. So anyway, it was well directed. Mel Gibson did a good job with it, but
I'm sure
it's a Catholic film. Jim Caviezel was in, there was a TV show we watched that was, maybe I shouldn't say because we shouldn't endorse TV shows.
bleep it out.
Person of Interest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's the main guy.
Okay, yeah. Got it.
John Smith or something. I think they gave him some weird alias.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, though. Okay, yeah. So that's Jim Caviezel. So he plays Dr. Luke in this Apostle Paul movie.
Check.
I have reached out to Sony Pictures, who is producing the film, and they have turned me down over and over and over again to do a pre-screening and a review of this movie on my blog.
Oh.
And my understanding...
That's sad.
Because Alan Nelson got to see a pre-screening of the movie. Alan Nelson, the fourth, Quattro. He saw a pre-screening of the movie and posted a review of the film on his blog, which he then had to take down.
Right, I did see that.
Yeah.
And I read it.
So, oh, you did?
I did, right before he had to take it down.
You got to read...
I did.
You got to read the review.
Yes, because I said, hey, you're mentioned in it. And then you're like, well, I can't find it.
It's gone.
Well, I'm glad I read it.
Well, I missed that.
It took 2 seconds.
So
no,
you got,
it was more than 2 seconds.
You got to see it.
I did.
So what did he say about it?
I don't remember.
Thank you for your review,
Alan. So sorry.
Alan.
I remember liking it, though. It was a very good review.
Okay.
That's all I remember.
So
I mean, very well done. Not like endorsed.
It wasn't endorsing the film. It was a well-written review.
It was.
Okay. So
I remember reading it and thinking, oh, I like this way of...
Yeah. Whenever a studio gets tight-lipped like this, it's because... The feedback they're getting is very negative.
Oh.
So they will withdraw or they'll kind of like, oh, I can't remember what they'll put a freeze on any reviews. You can't even post anything on Twitter about it. So if somebody's seen a pre-screening, they have a Facebook page or a Twitter page, they're not even allowed to go on Twitter and say, hey, I saw this movie. It was terrible. Guys, don't go see it. They put this embargo on any kind of mention of the film.
They spent a lot of money on it.
Yeah, they're right, exactly. And then somewhere, like a few days before the release of the movie, they'll lift that freeze and say, okay, now you can say something about the film.
Right.
So Quatro's
trying to stir up the interest about it, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, trying to protect their investment.
Yes.
Quatro's review will likely come back up again. The website is called thingsabove.us. He's got some other great guys that write with him on that particular site. It's not just his site. But anyway, whenever they release the freeze on that review, we'll see it again.
Yeah.
One of these days.
Pick it up.
But yeah, like I said, I've reached out to Sony. They won't let me see it. So no, I probably won't be doing a review on this Apostle Paul movie.
That's okay. You can just point him towards Quatro's.
Yeah, I'll point him to Alan's.
Yeah.
You can read his. Thank you for your email, Janine. This next one comes from Mark in Orlando, and this had to do with 1 Timothy 5:8. He said, "Have you considered that the meaning of this verse is in reference to providing your family with the gospel? Love your stuff. Keep up the great work and word." So coming back again to 1 Timothy 5:8, Paul said, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." The gospel could certainly apply to that.
Mm-hmm.
So part of your caring for your family is that you would share the gospel,
right,
with your wife, with your children, training them up in or raising them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord.
Yes.
As the Bible instructs.
They're
us
your number
to do.
One neighbor.
Exactly. Yeah, right. They are your first ministry.
Yes.
Before anybody else. So I should have mentioned that. And if I did not mention that when we were going through 1 Timothy 5:8, I'm sorry for not saying that.
Yes.
with as gospel focused as I am.
I listened to that one and I forgot. I can't recall whether you did or not.
I don't remember that either. But overall, the point that's being made here is that the love and kindness that we're supposed to show to one another starts in our home, also applies to our church. And these are our first priorities before it's then to anyone else in the world or anyone outside the church.
Right.
So like I said, as Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, as we have every opportunity, let us show charity to everyone, especially those of the household of faith.
Mm.
In the book of Luke, when Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan, so you have the man that was beaten up, he was left on the road for dead, the Levite wouldn't stop and help him, the priest wouldn't stop and help him. It was a Samaritan that came along,
right,
and nursed his wounds, put him on his donkey, took him to a place where he could get further treatment and care, and left enough money with the attendant so that this man would be nursed back to health.
Right.
The point that Jesus was making with that story is that a Samaritan knows how to do nice things for people.
Mm-hmm.
And the Samaritans did not even have the complete word of God. They accepted only the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, but did not listen to any of the other prophets.
Hmm.
And we have that mentioned in John chapter 4 when Jesus was having the conversation with the Samaritan woman at the well.
That's what I was thinking.
He said to her, "You worship what you do not know, but we worship what we do know, for salvation comes from the Jews."
Right.
So a Samaritan who does not have the rest of the prophets of God, yet they know that they need to care for a person who's been beaten up and left for dead on the side of the road.
Right.
Yet the Pharisees and the Levites won't even bother to stop for help.
Mm.
So who knows the instruction of God better to love your neighbor, the Jews or the Samaritans?
Mm-hmm.
So if the Samaritans know that you need to care for somebody and they do it, but the Pharisees and the Levites know what God's word says and they don't help somebody,
yeah,
who understands showing love to your neighbor better, the Samaritan or the Jew? That was the point that Jesus was making with the story.
Mm-hmm.
So likewise, we apply that concept to this, to 1 Timothy 5:8. If you don't know that you're supposed to care for your immediate household, you do not provide for your wife and your children as you are instructed to do in the scriptures, you're worse than an unbeliever, because even unbelievers know that you're supposed to do that. And as far as the instructions that are given in 1 Timothy 5 go, that's specifically the context that we're talking about there. The gospel certainly applies, but is not necessarily the context of what we see Paul instructing there in 1 Timothy 5.
Right.
Yes, you do need to give your family the gospel.
The spiritual health.
Right. And they would be your ministry first before it would be anyone else. Mm-hmm. That's the same way with me as a pastor. My ministry is my wife and my children first.
Right.
And I'm very grateful that when I applied for this job, the pastorship that I hold at First Southern Baptist Church, that was one of the things that they clarified. I didn't even ask, but they said to me, your ministry first is your wife and your children. Mm-hmm. And so if anything comes up in which you have to say, hey, I need to take a step back from this because I have to focus on my family, then we're going to give you that. And we would encourage you to take that.
Right.
If necessary, we're going to step in and say, you need to take a few steps back and maybe focus on your wife and children, which I have had to do before.
Mm-hmm.
That has come up as saying no to certain things or walking back from certain things.
Right.
Because I needed to give more attention to my family.
It's easy to say yes to too many things.
And Phil, yeah. And then you look at gaps in your schedule and you're like, hey, I can fit something else in there.
Yes, you do that often.
I do.
You're bad about that.
And then I don't have any time for anybody anymore.
Yeah, but it's okay. We still love you.
Thank you. I learn. I get convicted and then I go and apologize for being stupid. Stupid twice in this episode. That's three times there.
I can't listen to the episode around Zeej.
I know. All right, this last one comes from Jeff. He says, hey, I just finished listening to episode 638 regarding 1 Timothy 4:13 and being devoted to the public reading of scripture. An excellent episode, and I appreciated the way that you articulated how even if one doesn't have the gift of teaching, we have an obligation to sit under the teaching and public reading of scripture. Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I have been considering lately is the role of open air preaching as it pertains to this verse. I've been thinking about it a lot recently as I've been feeling a greater burden for the lost and considering ways to reach them with the truth.
Aww.
I was wondering if I could get your opinion about the practice of open air preaching. Do you think it's a good idea? Are there better ways to go about doing it? Are there any open air preaching ministries you're aware of that maybe do it better than others? Thank you, Jeff. The two resources that I would direct you to first are Wretched and Ray Comfort.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ray Comfort is probably the best open air preacher in our current era.
Mm-hmm.
So just watching Ray Comfort videos on YouTube, Living Waters is the name of his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Spence, who's also a part of that ministry, I've watched several videos with him doing open air preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Also very good. And there are guys that'll come in that aren't necessarily part of Living Waters ministries, but they'll come like be with Ray out there on the West Coast and doing the boardwalk thing that he does, you know, where he's preaching the gospel out there.
Uh-huh.
And they'll come just partner with him for a little while just to get the feel of doing it. Mm-hmm. and get some exposure and some teaching and learning and things like that on how to do some open air preaching. So you'll see some other guys that are doing that. And again, all that's through the Living Waters page.
Cool.
And then, like I said, Wretched. And in fact, Wretched has what's called Witness Wednesday. So if you
listen. Oh, yeah. I listened once to that.
Yeah, it's great.
I think it's when we were on our trip to a conference.
In fact, there's. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's several times when I can't listen to Wretched during the week. Because like I said, when I was giving my list of podcasts, first is The Briefing, second is Renewing Your Mind, and then third is Wretched.
Mm-hmm.
In that order. So if I don't get to Wretched, then you know, the great thing about Renewing Your Mind is it's not just R.C. Sproul.
Right.
There's so many other teachers that get in there as well. But if I don't get to Wretched, I'll at least try to get the Witness Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So I can hear some of the open air preaching or the encountering somebody on the sidewalk evangelism, that kind of stuff that they'll do.
Right.
I love listening to that because they encounter such a variety of people. And I do too here in Junction City, but
yes,
it helps me to get some pointers and knowing how to respond to certain arguments and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that. That's a great resource. So those are the two that I would recommend, Living Waters and Witness Wednesday on Wretched.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's others, YouTube videos you can look up, Apologia Radio. I'm sorry, Apologia. I do that every time.
You do.
Because I say it right. So anyway, they have a lot of open air preaching with Jeff. Oh, I forgot his last name now. Anyway, Pastor Jeff over there at Apologia Church.
Okay.
He does a lot of open air preaching stuff or evangelism on the sidewalk. Great videos. And mm-hmm. he's very quick witted, very bright with his responses, especially to the millennials that he'll encounter as he does that evangelism. and Tony Miano.
Oh, yeah.
Has some good stuff on YouTube as well. Look him up. Red Grace Media has had some. You can look them up as well. I can't say I've watched a lot from them. But anyway, they did that. You probably haven't seen it, but they did a video Unpopular with Dr. James White and Paul Washer. That was a great movie. Anyway, short film. You can find it on YouTube. That I hope would give you some pointers, Jeff. As far as, you know, the question you asked was, do you think it's a good idea to do open air preaching? Yes, it's a great idea.
Yeah. Be prepared.
As we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says that God gave the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists and the shepherds and the teachers to prepare the saints for the work of ministry. And a person who does open air preaching would fall in that category of evangelist.
Right.
They're the ones that go out with the word of God, that preach it in public so that others might hear it. And how you go about that, I mean, you just go find a public place and you stand out there and you start preaching.
Yes.
And some people
make sure it's public.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Don't go out to the dog park where there's nobody out there to hear you. You know, there's got to be people around.
Well, I meant not privately owned, because then it might venture into
a piece of public or a piece of private property.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, sorry.
I was like, well, that's
two different.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
That's some Captain Obvious advice for you. There's got to
well,
be,
you know,
there's got to be people
it's
around.
My specialty.
I'll just go speak out into thin air. It'll still do
well,
you good.
Well, I mean,
good.
You can practice.
That's right.
Practice that way to the dogs.
And you're preaching to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Isaiah 55, my word will not come back to me void.
That's
so
right. You never know who's listening.
Somebody's hearing it. Anyway, well, what was I talking about?
Go to a public place.
Go to a public place. Preach the gospel.
Uh-huh.
Paul telling Timothy to fulfill his ministry as an evangelist. Paul even instructed Timothy to be an evangelist.
Mm-hmm.
So as you go out with the gospel from the church to the world, preaching in the open air, preaching in public, those are going to be your opportunities where you have to fulfill that calling to be an evangelist. And Jeff, if you think the Lord has placed it upon your heart to do that, that is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard Phil Johnson say it takes a special kind of crazy to be a person that's willing to go stand in public and preach the gospel like that.
Yeah.
To be a soapbox preacher.
And there might come a time where you actually encounter somebody who knows enough about the Bible that they can have a conversation with you. And then if you're not as prepared as you thought you were, or you couldn't remember the verse that you were going to dispute it with or explain it better or whatever, just go home and study it more. And then go back out and see.
Don't be afraid to fall.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're
that's
gonna
okay.
Right. There's gonna be times when somebody's gonna get rather combative with you and you
right.
don't know the right answer. Don't be discouraged. Go it forces you to go back to your word.
Exactly.
Fill yourself up with more of the word of God. In addition to this, I would encourage you to receive the backing, the encouragement of your church. Still
yes.
be under the authority of your elders.
Yes.
And express to them this desire that you have to be an evangelist in your community. Guys, I want to go out and preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
I really think I need to be doing this more. And this is what the Lord has impressed upon my heart, to go into public and preach the gospel so that they can cover you with prayer.
Mm-hmm.
They can struggle with you through this as well, because you're going to get beat up. It gets pretty discouraging.
Right.
So having people from your church who are able to hold you up and encourage you and know to pray for you and what to pray for, and can talk with you about it and rejoice when you have those occasions of rejoicing and
oh yes,
and even weep with you when you have those heartbreaking moments
right.
that are inevitably going to come through this kind of ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's something that you think you know you want to do, have the elders come and lay hands on you and pray for you.
Right.
These kinds of things do need the support and the encouragement from your pastor or your teachers at your church.
And that comes in so handy whenever you know you have that behind you, just praying for you and all that, and that it'll give you more encouragement.
It gives you strength.
It does.
Yeah.
It really does.
To know that you have people supporting you. Because when you get beat up by the world, you know you can retreat back into your church.
Right.
And you're going to have brothers and sisters in the Lord that are going to give you that encouragement to strengthen your heart again.
Right.
To go back out and face the enemy.
That's right.
And know how to rightly wield the weapon that you have been given, which is the word of God.
Exactly.
So, Jeff, I hope that that's encouraging to you. And as we wrap this up, I would like to pray for you.
Sure.
So let's conclude. And as I wrap up here, I want to mention a couple of things. First of all, I've not gotten anybody's book out yet. So the books that we gave away when we had Costi on 2 weeks ago, I've not gotten any of those out yet. I apologize. But then I left for ShepCon and then got back and it just kind of got placed on the back burner. Sorry about that. But those whose questions were read on that particular episode received a copy of Defining Deception.
Will receive.
Will receive. Yes. Mm-hmm. You won it. You just haven't received it yet. That book that was written by Costi Henn and Anthony Wood. So it's coming in the mail. Thank you for everybody who submitted a question. If you would like to submit a question to this broadcast, send it to whenweunderstandthetext@gmail.com. Not everybody whose question gets aired wins a prize, but maybe I'll do that again sometime.
That'd be fun.
All right, let's pray.
Okay.
Lord, we thank you for this time together, and I thank you for these listeners. What a wonderful opportunity this is to talk about Bible things and theology and rejoice in the salvation that we've been given through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Justified by faith, we've done nothing to earn the salvation that we have except believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by faith in his work on the cross and resurrection from the grave, we have the forgiveness of sins and right standing with God. Our name is in the book of life. And on that day when we pass from this world into the next, we will hear from our great master, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Now great is your reward if we endure to the end." So keep us steadfast in the faith and always rejoicing in the gospel that was preached to us. And by this gospel, we believed and so we're saved. I want to pray for Jeff as he has this desire to go out with the word of God so that others could hear this gospel proclaimed and likewise would turn from their sin and would rejoice in the gift of salvation that has been given through Jesus Christ. The ministry of reconciliation, as Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give Jeff strength to do this, that you would give him clarity of mind. It's not just something he has a passion for doing in a moment, but that you continue to feed and encourage his heart in this work, and that he would go to the elders of his church, his pastor, and ask for their guidance and counsel and encouragement through prayer. And I thank you for placing this on his heart. May we all have a desire to want to share the gospel with others, because it is the power of the gospel that brings a person to salvation for all who believe it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I had a Reese's, not a Reese's, a Rice Krispies, combining the two.
That's quite a different. It's quite different than a Reese's.
Well, Reese's Rice Krispies were
Reese's.
Anyway, la 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 la, la 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 la. Sorry.
What are you doing?
I don't know. I'm tired. I'm so tired.
Hey, you want to see what I did right before you came downstairs?
Yes. Oh, no.
Yep.
Do you need some tape?
I need a hug.
Oh, I need a hug.
Thank you.
Aw.
I was just turning my Bible open just like this, and somehow I caught this page more than the rest and tore it. Yep. I can't even remember the last time I tore a Bible page before.
Well, that one has been loved. Quite a bit.
This is the one your mom and dad gave me.
Was it really?
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
Oh, it was right when I made the decision that I was going to be using the ESV to preach from. I think so. Oh. I think it was a 12? Gift. Huh?
2012?
Yeah, 2012. I think it was a gift after the church approved me for pastor.
Aww.
I think that was your mom and dad gave me this one. So
that's sweet.
Now it's got a tear right through my notes on 1 Timothy 5:11-12.